My next guest has worked with producers such as Premier, High Tech, Static Selecta, Pete Rock, The Alchemist, and more. He's released 10 albums, about to release his 11th, Order and Chaos. He's Rex, and I want to welcome him back to the Library with Dominico. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
This is great. I mean, finally in person. Last time we were on the phone.
Exactly.
Now it's in person. So let's start from the beginning. I didn't realize, I know you're from Lawrence, Massachusetts, but you started off as a B-boy. But now you're an MC. What was it about, I guess, the MC element of the culture that kind of spoke to you more? Maybe, I don't know if it spoke to you more, but spoke to you in a sense that that was your path versus b-boying.
I think my calling was that aspect all along. I just didn't get drawn to it immediately. The dance aspect was more me following my older cousins.
Right.
They were B-boys, so I wanted to be a B-boy in turn. I love the art and the artistry of hip hop in general, but the music was always calling me. So lyrically, I feel the passion of the vocal aspect of the music and it be so topical. So that was important.
In 2001, obviously, debut album, what was your purpose, I guess, your mission with that album, but also with hip hop culture, and also rap music?
I was rather inexperienced during the Long Came the Chosen in how to even format songs, how to do a lot of aspects of what it was. So I was really just trying to make my mark as a respected artist. I wanted to be able to prove that I belonged with mm-hmm. that album, prove that, like, you know, I was here to stay. So Along Came the Chosen was just like a very bold titled song, album to basically be my entrance into the game.
How do you think what you've kind of, you know, 2000, what you've set off trying to do, how do you think, or has that actually at all changed knowing now the business side of the game, or, you know, like any politics that you might have run into trying to get an album produced or together?
You mean how has my vision changed?
Yeah, or maybe it hasn't, but, you know, but since, well, you know, all these new, well,
I,
new
I feel
things.
I grew. I feel I grew, and I learned a lot being around people like Static Selecta and being around the individuals who were at Brick Records at the time, who kind of basically gave me my first opportunity, and just seeing, you know, successes and failures of all the individuals around me. So that gave me insight into the game, into the business aspects of it, the very natures of it that I didn't want anything to do with it at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me very mindful first coming in to be able to say, okay, I'm gonna do these one-off deals instead of, like, you know, signing long-term. Very, very early on, I knew that, like, the one-off thing was for me,
right,
as far as the label goes, until I could get to my true independence, which is now.
You mentioned producers you've worked with, and I mentioned them in the intro, you know, Static Selecta, Pete Rock, Premier, mm-hmm. The Alchemist. I mean, big name.
Yes, indeed.
I want to ask you a question that I would ask them.
Okay.
What is it, do you think, about Rex that draws producers to wanting to work with you?
I think passion and the voice. I think it, you know, it lends itself to the golden era sound. My voice, even though, like, you know, it was more modern, you know, 2001 going forward, it was falling the tail end of what people would consider the golden era. But my voice, like, kind of lend itself to the sound that was kind of missing for a long period of time.
If you could talk briefly kind of about a few of the producers you work with, what has been the most surprising in terms of the stuff you didn't know they did, or even, you know, as producers, that kind of surprising in a good way, surprising that made you step up your lyrical game, or made you step up your writing skills, or even your, I don't know, like, planning out a song. I mean, is there anything that surprised you, but also you learned from them?
I think Static, first, I would say, is, like, he's a master craftsman. What I noticed about him in working through Pro Tools and being able to, like, manipulate a full production,
right,
in that capacity, I found real fascinating. But then I was like, it takes a lot of talent to be able to do what he does and do it so simplistic. And I think over the years, I wanted to learn how to master, you know, attacking a topic and being able to do it cohesively without having to, you know, have extended days of doing. I write extremely fast, but it never really took me days to write a verse or a full song or anything like that. But over the years, it's become like pretty easy to like pin a 16
mm-hmm.
and to like flow with the different joints that I've done. So
are you writing based on the beat, or are you have already something planned out and then they fit the beat around?
When I first started off, I didn't have access to production like that. So I had production, like I had the Soul Searchers who lent me their sound bed for the first few couple of albums. But I didn't have the access to like production on a consistent basis, and I was not internet savvy. I wasn't able to like, you know, go on my email and just go through a plethora of like, we transfers or Dropbox, right? So I didn't have the same kind of understanding as far as the production goes. But over the periods passing, like more accessibility to beats, you know, changed a lot of that.
Snow Goons,
uh-huh.
You've worked a bunch with them.
Yes.
For people that don't know, they're a German-based production group.
Mm-hmm.
How did that collaboration happen? But also, how did you know that it would work? Like, how did you know that their beats would fit your style and vice versa?
Just honestly, like, they sent me a record that they wanted me to, like, you know, I think do 8 bars on. I can't remember the title of the record. It was like 400 MCs on it. It was a while ago before, like, Snow Goons was really, like, you know, really getting into the prime of their musical capabilities and working with so many cats from Onyx and MOP and all that. But they approached me about jumping on this record, and the record was super dope. It featured cats like Esoteric and you know, Fredril Star from Onyx, and it was just a great opportunity. So I think I was still in Florida and I was just getting hip to coming back into the game a bit.
Okay.
So they sent me the record, laced that. This was them early on again, like I said, and it was a perfect marriage. The voice sounded well over their production. I think it's as simple as that. That's what hip hop should go back to, its simplistic roots.
There's a track you do with Bars, with Terminology and Sick Nature
and MBS.
Absolutely. You see that video, which I watched like thousands of times, and you're like, this is just lyrical monster after lyrical monster after lyrical monster.
Yeah.
What was the collab? I mean, is this an example of like, was there any like, I guess, was it a friendly competition in terms of like writing? Did someone hear, did someone hear something and then like, oh shit, I got to rewrite something because they heard, you know?
I've never ever rewritten a verse because somebody else, you know, did what they did. And I love and respect all those that were on the record. I don't know what they may have been doing.
Right, right.
You know, because of Rex or because of Sick or whoever it may be, right? But from my standpoint, I'm never competing with artists I'm on a record with. I want to make something cohesive and a great sounding finished, polished product. I compete with myself, you know what I'm saying? I always want to, that might sound cliche, but it's real. You know, I really do want to master bettering myself. And so that occurs consistently. With that record, it was just a great opportunity to like flex muscles.
Right.
Yeah.
Before we talk about the new album, Order and Chaos, I just want to, something you said about competing with yourself. Do you have a sounding board, or like, you know, maybe your girl, you kind of throw lyrics at, or is it you that you've gotten to this point where, you know, all right, this is the best I'm going to do for this particular lyric, or this is the perfectly how I want to word it and everything like that. How does that work in terms of like, how do you know a lyric is final?
For me, I'm my biggest critic. Like, I'm going to make sure that, like, you know, anything that I put out, I'm completely confident about it, and I'm happy with the final product. So I do not, like, you know, bounce ideas off of too many people. My fiance, yes, we at times, like, she used to be a rapper. She's a poet at the moment.
Nice.
Janilda Garcia. And she is on that, on that short list of individuals I trust who I would be able to say, okay, listen to this and see what they're thinking. And quite honestly, my son, my oldest son, he's just turned 15. I took him to the J. Cole concert recently, and he's like, he's like, I'm going to take up rapping as a hobby. Like, he's like, he's in the programming. He's in the programming, and like, he's super like with his schooling and everything. Yeah. Super smart kid, as is my youngest Josiah, Two Kings. And the oldest, he's like, now he's into the rhyming thing. So like, I think he's a good sounding board, and my youngest is a good sounding board. He lets me know when a hook is catchy. You know what I mean? So if it's catchy, like the youngster, JoJo, we call him, JoJo let me know if it's catchy.
That's awesome. Turning to the new album, Order and Chaos. For you, what's the purpose of this album, but also how does it kind of represent where you are now in your career?
So Order and Chaos was over a period of time, you know, Short Fuse was a producer on a list of like those who hadn't really, you know, gotten their name fully out there that I always wanted to work with. Like completely through on a project when the time was right. And he felt the same way. And for those who don't know Short Fuse is has done extensive work with Terminology, Goya, Mass Goya. He has an album now. It's called Lost Soul, which features Sean Price, rest in peace, Styles P, myself, Terminology, Chris Rivers, a plethora of just dope lyrical MCs, right? With this album, what we wanted to do, both coming out of Lawrence, Massachusetts, we wanted to kind of highlight what it is like to come from the city specifically, and show the connection to, the Latin drive into the city, what drove, you know, Puerto Ricans and Dominicans specifically, into, this small little area from Massachusetts, like just in the middle of, nowhere, basically, almost on the cusp of like New Hampshire. And the same thing with during the Black migration, how my family ended up from South Carolina up north into Lawrence, Massachusetts, and how we kind of like, you know, found that kind of bond through music. And, you know, the history prior to us, Lawrence is already an immigrant town, impoverished, was never really supposed to be a location for people who would inhabit the area. It was a working place. So we just, you know, it's an influx of all that ideas culminating in the chaotic order or order and chaos.
That's dope. That's real cool. The first track, Plans, Bread and Roses. Yeah. You know, it's with you, obviously, in Short Fuse. The video, if you go to the video, your page on YouTube, you write, quote, the greatest unknown MC Rex. That kind of stood out to me. Yeah. How do you think kind of that title, the greatest unknown, has helped you in your career and has maybe hurt you in your career?
Okay. Well, that's a great question. For me, I feel legacy is very important. So I feel my legacy will be solidified. I truly believe that, like, I've left a quality and impactful resume that for periods beyond my time, like, will stand test of time. And I'm proud of that, and I hold dear to that. I feel like my kids will have something in my words to pass on to theirs and theirs beyond to know what we represent. So that's important to me. Being the greatest unknown, my coming into the game was filled with ideas of I needed to be Jay-Z level, a Biggie level, or like certain levels because of lyrical capabilities, feeling I wasn't getting enough shine coming from somewhere so small. You know, that all about me mentality. And that was how I was when I was inexperienced and not really truly understanding what building a true legacy is about. There are so many things, so many aspects to it that don't really include the financial merits or like, the accolades and stuff like that. But, being the greatest unknown, I feel like, you know, the pounds that I get and the love that I get is akin to like when I would work an actual 9-to-5 job, I would work in programs with kids. And like a lot of time it's a thankless job. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times kids, like, they'll curse you out. Like, being in programs where kids are troubled and you know, they're dealing with their own hardships and daily issues that they're not able to know how to direct correctly. So being a thankless job, when you get that thank you, it's worth, like, millions.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, so like there are times where I get the thank yous that are worth billions, that are like they're weight in gold. You feel me? So like, I mean, being the greatest unknown, I think, has helped me in that way to kind of see the world better and to leave a better legacy for my children. I mean, like as far as like hurting me, I don't really see it that way. I don't really truly believe that exists.
The same track, it leads off the album. It kind of really lays out, and you talked about this in the first kind of the mission of the album, but it lays out your journey through your life, and we kind of learn more about you. Why have this kind of be the lead track, the table setter of the album?
The return. It was the return of my music after a break. And the thing was, it wasn't a big break. It was like a couple of years. But
right.
If anyone follows my career, I was doing an album a year type of situation since Gray Hairs.
Right.
Like every single year, I was dropping something, which isn't the norm. You know, unless your terminology, who drops like 40 a year, right? Or the new age cats who are like doing it, like who are beating us and besting us at doing it weekly.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, they're like, they've brought in a whole nother wave. But for people around our that was like, you know, not the norm. So a couple years I wanted to come into Plans and Bread and Roses, and I wanted to like, you know, reintroduce Rex a little bit with not really a need to, but like for those who weren't really that hip, I wanted to like re-give people an image of where I'd been and where I was thinking, mm-hmm. especially in relation to where we come from.
You speak of terminology. He's mm-hmm. He's on the track Pollo X and Collection Plate.
Yeah, yeah.
5th grade Spanish works.
Oh, well. That's dope.
I think you listen to that track and it comes off kind of as two tracks,
yeah.
because there's two beats.
Yeah.
Why?
I feel like we could do whatever we want. You know what I mean? And especially being independent. Like I just launched my label,
right,
MGI.
Right.
So that was a long time in the making. But like with my partner Lucky Dice, we came out with this new label, Belize Music Group Incorporated. We got so much in store, and like we're just able to do whatever we want. Like,
right.
why not? I wanted to do something different on the intro. It's Plan/Bread and Roses.
Right.
We have another record, like you said, Pollo/Collection Plate. I felt like they fit together, and instead of like, you know, being like this is the intro to the intro, I did that even when I was with Brick Records though, because my first album I had an intro and then a re-intro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like I just kind of like always like, you know, did things like that lyrically just to like, you know, try something different.
You work with terminology a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember the first thing you ever heard from him that kind of blew you away in terms of like, oh shit, this guy, he can spit?
Yeah, he paid me for a verse, him and Easy Money, who used to be known as Ed Rock. They were kids coming at, well, Terms from Lawrence moved to Haverhill, and Easy Money's a kid from Haverhill, which is neighborhoods, back-to-back towns in Massachusetts. And the two of them really like were lyrically exceptional very young. Term, I got about 5 years on Term, and from the moment I heard his bars, I was like, this kid's gonna be a problem. And he came from my neighborhood, and you know, maybe then we were competitive and a lot of people were competitive in our neighborhood because we had so many dope MCs coming out from
right.
where we've come from Crumb Snatcher, Scientific, I mentioned Esoteric, you know, Acrobatic, Mr. Lift, Ed OG, all these different like great people coming out of our neighborhood. The competition was high.
Yeah.
I knew this kid was going to be a problem. And I was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Super dope.
Last track on the album is Celebrate. You spit, I Wish Obama Did More For Us. Two questions here. What did you want him to do more of? And then two, if someone said you're a political rapper, would you shy away from that? Or how would you embrace that title? Or not?
I'm absolutely politically aware, and so calling me a political rapper doesn't offend me at all in any regard. Obama did a lot Obama didn't do a lot that he should have. In terms of the difficulties that were going on in our communities at the period in time, I'm not saying I'm super critical,
right.
but I felt like the need for you know, calming feelings was great on the Obama family's half, and that's going to last for a very long time. However, there are periods, there are pieces of our people that require healing, and that require you know, direct attention that were left untouched and untapped into. And I do feel like being the voice of our people. And when I say our people, I don't mean, Africans displaced. I mean our people, just people in general in the United States of America, right? You're the representation of who we are. And a portion of that people were dealing with such a hardship that you directly understand.
Right.
And I feel like he missed the ball on that one. He missed it severely. Now being a voice of reason and calm in a super supremely like wise and approach presidential candidate and individual, I think he was exceptional. So I don't want people to get the idea misconstrued.
Right.
Like how I view Obama is not extremely one way, and it's not linear. It's not one line, but there are various layers that we need to unpeel of the onion. Right. So, he made promises just as other presidents made promises.
Right.
I look at all presidents kind of, I throw them all in the same basket, and I say they're all going to say this, and they're not going to do the majority of what they say they're going to do. Right. So, you know, Guantanamo Bay was a big issue in my mind, especially the way he spoke as a candidate versus what he became and did as a president.
Right.
His approach to Wall Street as a candidate versus a president. Was very difficult for me. Like I'm tapped in terms of and more tapped in now to Wall Street and what's the deal with the Federal Reserve and lobbyists and things like of that nature more now than I was then. But I'm always consistently learning and reevaluating things that I thought then and the way I've grown.
Right.
And I just feel Obama, you know, he missed it on several areas. The war, too. I mean, the war, absolutely.
Six of them, aren't
there? Yeah, the war, absolutely.
And this is my next question. This is solely from kind of an artistic standpoint. And what's better for you in terms of inspiration or just in terms of being able to write, an Obama presidency or a Trump presidency?
That's a great and interesting question. For me, I don't think either, you know, stand out one way or stand out more. Obviously, they are polar opposites. And so they're the way I would address kind of the same topics would be like the same for me. But like in dealing with each individual is completely different. They both offer immense opportunities. I think Trump would be easier, but a cheat sheet in terms of a lot of like his flaws.
Yeah.
But like I'd prefer to talk in terms of the Obama presidency, because those are the things that people miss.
Mm-hmm.
The issues that are very important to our people as a whole, that we tend to like kind of like gloss over or miss. And I would prefer that one.
So here's my last question.
Okay.
I asked this to DMC and I from NDMC and Yo-Yo. Mm-hmm. Is there a verse maybe that you're currently working on or that you're just the most proud of? Like kind of like the holy shit, I can't believe I wrote that verse. That you could spit for us and kind of talk about quickly why this is the verse that kind of like.
So I'm gonna go from my phone because this is new age a little bit, but there is a verse that I would like to spit, and it's on a Knots beat. I'm a big fan of Knots as a producer. He's like, and this is from an album that's coming. It's an album, and I'm going to give you the title and I'm going to give you the exclusive on what this is. That the new album is called Things. It's a new album, that I'm dropping, not even this next album, but the album after that I'm working on.
So you're like two albums ahead.
Yeah, I am. And it's called Things, and Things stands for, The Hunger Inside Never Gets Simple. All right. So this is a verse off a Knots beat, and it's actually kind of like an intro.
Mm-hmm.
So the hunger inside never gets satisfied, right? And so here we go. Right. It goes, periodically idiotic, this odyssey, call it dichotomy of the warrior and God in me. Part of me gotta be Shaka Zulu. This prophecy, a prophet introducing me properly, require the keys. I believe I'm honestly an anomaly, rocking these monster strings orchestrated by Knots. The greatest aviators of your playlist, surround sound, adventures of the capers of the plane, trains, automobile, ships that sail us cross seven seas. Lessen these diaspora tethers, please. He mastered the expertise, still after the extra cheese. Skill levels, the mezzanine, your balcony never seen. This Valkyrie, tell the team, operation fire at the Fuhrer, the author who called the order. I'm sort of synonymous with the simpletons, mental slaughter, sniper that saw you in a scope, traumatic disorder of people positioned poorly, peasants, peons, and porters, reminiscing the yesteryear, but my thinking is forward. I was born with this addiction of ripping the mic to callers. I saw this as my escape from abysses, bottoms, and borders, deep waters. When we drew strings, always the shortest was mine. Over time, the inner pang wasn't pacified. The hunger inside never gets satisfied.
Every verse you do, I just get floored and oh, so impressed.
I appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much. So of course, what's the album drops?
September 11th, Order and Chaos, Short Fuse, Rex. We're on tour. We go to Shade 45. We're doing Cuba. We go to Europe, come back, and we're doing the States. We're in New York, Rochester, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Vermont. Basically, all of the East Coast. We're going to be hitting the East Coast, and then we're going back to Europe again. So, real proud of this album. It's the first dropping on my official label, BMG, I Believe Music Group Incorporated. We're happy about it.
And of course, gotta give the socials.
Oh, absolutely. So follow me pretty much on everything. I've improved a little bit. So most of the handles are rexhiphop.com. When you go to Twitter, it changes up. It's The Real Rex.
Yeah.
And then, so / The Real Rex. Also, on YouTube, / The Real Rex. Everything else, SoundCloud, Spotify, which I have my love-hate relationship with. All these other ones are, rexhiphop.com. But now we have the website dropping that we built from scratch, bulliesmusic.com, where you can, purchase bully gear, do booking, purchase tickets, everything that needs to do that has to relate to BMGI. So bulliesmusic.com.
New album, Order and Chaos. Rex, once again, it's been an honor again to talk to you on the Library of Timonica. Thank you so much, man.
Salute, and thank you, Tim.